There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my
Yes. Hello, Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan. Your ears are not deceiving you. I am not Sean Sullivan. I am John, Mr. Mobile Young, filling in for Sean Sullivan. Dalton is here helping me out. I'm glad to be on hosting in the middle of the day. I hope you all are having a safe commute to your lunch spots, nap spots, or if you're sneaking out early. You know, a few weeks ago, there was this rumor that there was a rapture, and we're still here. So I don't know if we were unworthy or if there really wasn't a rapture. I'm going to bet there wasn't. And it's always funny, you know, every few years these things come up that the rapture will occur, and we all wake up and we're still here. So either there was a rapture and we weren't good enough or there isn't a rapture. So I'm going to bet that there wasn't. But in Mark chapter 13 and 32, but of that day and that hour knoweth no man, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for you know not when that time is. Folks, it's written. If you believe in Scripture, you have to believe in Scripture to believe in a rapture. So Christ has said that no one knows when it's going to occur. So when anyone tells you it's going to be on this day, don't give away all your money. Don't go and curse out your boss. Don't tell your husband the baby isn't his. Just continue living your life, because more than likely you'll wake up here. I haven't seen my friend Paul Check, so if anybody knows where he is, send me a text message. And Keith Harvey, you owe me a chocolate thunder boom. You know, Dalton, over the last few months, locally and nationally, there's been a lot of vitriol and anger politically. The local politics heated up so badly in the runoff that Facebook became a battleground for even people that I know and respect and love were being rude towards other people because of political views. The national political scene has made enemies of people that don't think for themselves. They are now hating people they've never met and glorifying people they've never met. And I deleted my Facebook account Tuesday because someone that I really respect and admired posted something that was just so politically heinous and biased that I knew I could not exist on Facebook anymore. I actually had created that account when I considered running for political office. And so it's just sort of stuck around. A good way for me to promote my show, Tonight in Mobile, a good way to meet friends and keep up with each other. But it stopped being used for that, and it became a weapon. And I just saw more and more Facebook posts demeaning one group, vilifying one group, and upholding another group. And I never talk about people. I talk about principles or ideals. And so if it's wrong, it's wrong. If lying is wrong, it's wrong if you do it or if I do it. If stealing is wrong, it doesn't matter who does it or their reason. If name calling is wrong, if these things are wrong, then they are wrong across the board. And I don't make excuses for it at any time. So instead of getting involved in, hey, buddy, why don't you chill out? You know, keep that to yourself. Some things not meant for public consumption. I just unplugged from it. Cold turkey. I didn't put it, farewell, Facebook. I'll see, you know, now's the hour of our discontentment. No, it was just, I can't exist like that anymore, because Midday, I have transcended looking at people as anything more than their character. It's very apparent when you look at me, my ethnicity, or at least the color of my skin. You may not know my nationality, but you can at least look at me and tell. But to judge my thoughts or behavior on that is wrong. Yeah, I have my opinions on Lizzo, but everyone knows that. I'm not shy about those things. But I'm not going to say whether or not she's a good person. I'm just going to say that she's gravitationally challenged. But this is where we've gotten. Our national political scene, our local political scene was terrible. And I really hope, I pray that our mayor-elect, he's elected on, sworn in on November 1st.
I believe so. It's in early November.
Early November. Yeah. My desire is that he sends out a unifying message to Mobilians that we are Mobile. Regardless where you live, regardless of how much money you make, we are Mobile because we share Airport Boulevard, we share Spring Hill Avenue, Ladd Stadium, the malls. We share all of these things, the Mardi Gras. We share a love for crawfish and seafood. Speaking of seafood, shrimp and grits in Mobile should be about $3. Shrimp are local and grits are $5 for 20 pounds.
Yeah.
You should not have to pay $17 at a restaurant for shrimp and grits. I don't care if it is Gouda cheese. I don't care.
It's all about the plating, though. You're paying for the plating.
Is that what it is?
How good it looks on the plate, yeah.
So if I bring a school lunch tray, will it be $3 then?
Yeah, I think that's only fair. Yeah.
Right, it should be. But that's my diatribe about the seafood in Mobile. You can go catch your own seafood and make your own grits. That's ridiculous, but that's a side note. But I deleted the account, my Facebook account, because I just can't tolerate that anymore. I can't tolerate seeing my friends insult one another. When you have Chocolate Thunder as your commonality friend, there can be no hatred and disdain because I'll hang out with almost anybody.
Mm-hmm.
If you buy a round and know a good joke like Chris Levy, tell a good story, I'll hang out with you. So if I'm your commonality, then we can't be enemies with one another. We can't be rude to one another. There were things said on Facebook as if Wednesday morning was not going to occur.
Mm.
You are going to wake up, unless there's a rapture, you're going to wake up Wednesday morning and have to see that person or talk to that person or still. And if you don't say anything that, hey, I'm sorry, my bad, sometimes that's not enough. Sometimes you could be so rude and disrespectful to a person that they don't talk to you anymore. And I've learned to do that. I don't argue anymore. If you're rude to me, like I walked out of Subway earlier today, the lady was just rude, and I don't blame her looking at her. She looked like that pot of meatballs I wanted to buy. So I don't blame her. I'd be angry, too, if I had to walk around looking like that. You know, look at yourself in the mirror every morning and look down and you can't see your feet. So that would discourage anybody. But I could not tolerate John Scroggins, a buddy of mine, calls it anti-social media, and that entire week leading up to the runoff election proved to me why it is antisocial. It makes people, it brings out the worst of people. There are people who have false profiles and different names. And when when you're anonymous, you can say whatever you want. When there's a threat of being punched in the mouth, you're sometimes cautious what you say. But I noticed that people weren't even cautious anymore. There was no such thing as respecting one another, our opinions. You disagree with me, so you're trash. You don't think like I do, so you're trash. You don't believe like me, I hope you die. You know, and it just bothers me to the point that in 2025, the first description people have of someone is their color. You remember we didn't talk about politics, religion, or income. We just didn't have those conversations, but now with anti-social media, it makes everyone a superstar. Everyone has an opinion. Everyone has a means to express their opinions, whether it's idiotic or if it's dumb or wrong or false or even if it's accurate. And then people feel compelled to reply. People feel compelled to respond and challenge that thought or that opinion. And I don't. You know, I post things sometimes and people would try to be, you know, sarcastic or cute or something. Well, I'm not going back and forth with you on Facebook. Call me and we'll chat about it. Like right now, I don't have a Facebook page. That means if you don't have my cell phone number, we weren't friends. Friends on Facebook is nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, and you bring that up, and it's, you know, admirable that you've dropped it. I know a lot of people that need to leave Facebook behind for at least some time because it's messing with their brains. I've seen distant family members, like, go after each other on Facebook over politics, and you think, shouldn't this be if you had to have this conversation, which you don't, it's about national politics in this case, shouldn't it be behind closed doors? Or you see it on Twitter, which is more of a international conversation place than a specific community or people you know. And you think, well, those people aren't real. They have fake profiles. This conversation really kind of isn't even happening. It's just people yelling at each other. But then, like you said, with local politics, and you see people you know, people maybe you've been around at the same time that are going after each other over politics, and you wonder, like, after they post that, do they have that feeling like, man, what text did I send last night? That's so embarrassing.
Right.
How do you come back from that?
It's like when you're angry, it's like speaking when you're drunk. It can be, not that I've ever done that, it can be emotional. And I think everyone could do a good anti-social media detox, because now I am sleeping a little bit better, because I now that I realize it, I just naturally, when I pick up my phone, I swipe towards Facebook to see if someone's read my post or commented or watched my show. And now, just out of habit, when I pick up the phone, I swipe towards Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
So it does occur. And I've only been on Facebook maybe 18 months. I could not imagine people who grew up with it.
Yeah.
You know, because we become so conditioned. But to publicly argue, Dalton, I guarantee you this, I will never argue with you over someone I do not know.
Mm.
If I've never met that person and can sit down and attest to that person's character, I will not argue. Whether it's politics, we have people arguing and shouting over football coaches, college football coaches. These are high school age children, and people are arguing and coming to blows in the stands over that.
Mm. It's wild.
We've lost our sensibility in this country. And that's why I hope the mayor-elect, Chiragatis, says, we are one Mobile, follow me. We're going to take our first break. We'll be right back. I'll be here all day long.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back to Midday Mobile. I am not Sean Sullivan. I do respect the man. He respected me enough to fill in for him. I won't say where he is, but I sure hope he brings me a souvenir. We have a good friend on the phone, D. Hill. You're on the air. How are you, brother?
What's up, JY?
Nothing much, dog. How are you?
Listen, I was just listening to you, and I was thinking that you are regurgitating all of what I put into you years ago.
Well, D., you're definitely an influence, along with Cedric Nettles when I was in Pritchard. You know Cedric.
I do.
Yeah, but definitely. I'm grateful for the influence that you had on me, and thank you for remembering that, where it came from.
Well, I would just like you to say one thing. I know you're a Notre Dame or Penn State fan, and you know I'm a twice Alabama graduate, and I would like you to say one thing before tomorrow. It's the third Saturday in October, and I would love for you to say Roll Tide.
Roll Tide. Go Jags.
See, that's worth all the beer I ever bought you.
Well, you need to buy me some more, because last time I saw you at LAD, you said you were.
I will, absolutely. And I just know that I love you, brother.
Yeah.
You're my brother in Christ, and I'm glad that the rapture didn't happen, because I get more time to spend with you and those like you. Those like us.
Things like us. Thank you, D. Hill, brother. I'll be seeing you.
Yeah.
All right.
You too. Love you, brother.
I love you back. Listen, you know, Dalton, I'm glad he didn't get too carried away. We've gotten old now, but we weren't always old. One time we were young and in pretty good shape and pretty good looking.
Well, you don't act old. I'll say that.
Yeah, well, I hide these aches and pains well, but, you know, but that's when you go back to inspirations. And I could do an entire show on the people who inspired me throughout my career. Eddie Blakely, Cedric Nettles, Yvonne Baldwin, Frank Dees, Leslie Nobles, Donald Shepherd, Tanya Cook. I could go on and on with the people that, and those were just people before I got to my current job, that I wouldn't be here without them, my extended family. But I wouldn't be the man I am without them, without a doubt. To be able to speak in the manner that I do and speak boldly is definitely a foundation. You know, we ended the segment about me leaving Facebook and why. One of the scariest things I've seen discussions about is a civil war. And we throw these words around casually. This is not a video game. A civil war is when people form a coup d'etat against government. It isn't factions of people. It's you challenge the government. This isn't a government of muskets and cannon fodder. There are no Hessians to hire to come and fight. There are no indigenous people here to recruit to help. Our military is the finest in the world. We spend more money on the American military than the next 10 countries combined, I think, or something like that. Before anyone thinks about taking up arms against the military, just go watch Kent State. And that was 60 years ago. Imagine the technology we have now. They're listening to our phones already. We have computer chips in our cars that can turn off. We're being tracked online. Every time you swipe a key, they already know what you eat, where you drink, where you live, and what guns you've bought. That is not the Civil War people want. It wouldn't last an hour. It wouldn't last. It lasts as long as the military say, well, let's try out this gummy bear, walking gummy bear with a bomb in it. And then this big 100-foot gummy bear comes walking down the street. Oh, that didn't work. Somebody ate it. But that's what we're dealing with. My fear, Dalton, is that the rhetoric will become so hot. The enemy of the people, they versus them, you're repressing me. That's hate speech. It will be factions of people fighting. Mm-hmm. I don't think it will be an uprising against the government, but it will be the doorknobs against the door handles, and the door hinges will join in. And they will all have their own opinion of what American democracy looks like. And it will be a perpetual 1984 type war. If you read the book or seen the movie Midday, that's what we will deal with. And we have to remember that there are six media corporations that own every media outlet in the world. They don't have to call each other and say, let's run this story. They'll run what's in their best interest. You don't have to, as George Carlin said, you don't have to have an official meeting of people with like-mindedness. You don't have to have them meet every year and say, well, let's do this and let's do that. No, if you're a billionaire, you're going to do what benefits billionaires. If you're a textile company owner, you'll do that. If you own a shipping conglomerate, I don't have to call anyone across the globe to see what's going to I need to do. So working people need to understand that we need to realize that we have far more in common than we don't. If you love your family, if you work, if you believe in God, if you believe in law and order, you have far more in common with someone that lives down the street from you than a millionaire in Washington. A person who went to Washington, D.C. as a broke bartender and is now a multimillionaire. Insider trading. They read the memos about what plans the military is going to make or where investments are going to make. There's no law against them investing in those companies or corporations. They've never been prosecuted for it. Dude, I've never ridden on someone's island or flown on someone's plane that has ever been accused of any criminal conduct. I would never associate myself with that. And if I knew about it, I'd tell it. But while we're arguing with each other over R's and D's and conservative and liberal and roll ties and war eagles, they're not. Mm-hmm. They have determined they're going to circle their own wagons. And like I said, I never talk about people, but I'll talk about principles. But if we knew a child abuser, if we knew who that person was, and then we're not all lined up to testify and prosecute against them, who's the real enemy? Who are we really blaming for this? How are we going to label any one person responsible for it when anyone could do it? Okay, somebody before you didn't do it. Why don't you do it now? Okay, someone before him didn't do it, but you can do it now. If I'm driving upon an old lady broken down on the side of the road and I see one car pass by, the second car pass by, the third car, and then I roll up, my excuse can't be, well, they could have helped her.
Right.
Well, it can be that, but I should help her. I'm not relieved of my responsibility to help someone because someone else didn't. I'm not alleviated of my responsibility to tell the truth because someone else didn't. And that's why the finger pointing that occurs in politics and in religion now, I don't know. I don't think I preach more scripture this just reading that about the rapture than you see in most church Sundays. But they become so factionalized and turned us against one another. For your favorite politician, I ask, invite any of you to go knock on their door and say, hey, let me in and drink a beer and see how quickly you're picked up and thrown into the street.
Mm-hmm.
But you come by Jay Y's house. Yeah, come on in. What do you want? So is this our break?
This is the break.
I've talked nonstop. I'll give you some a time to say something next time, Dalton. We're coming up on our second break, folks. Come on, stay there. 251-343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, all right, guys. Welcome back to Midday Mobile with Mr. Mobile. Sounds good, doesn't it? Don't worry, Sean. I don't want it. But we were talking about there won't be a civil war. There will be a war of factions. But it won't be what people think it is. It will be not based on ethnicity and color of skin, because we will then have a culture war. We will have a war between people who believe in God or believe in family or education. But I talked to my good friend Armand Campbell. I've known him for 23 years, and we were having this conversation about what it would look like, and we agreed that it wouldn't be. We agreed that he and I would stand back to back and fight anybody. And Armand is, I think he's Italian. But no one's going to harm him and no one's going to harm me. And we'll fight anybody, anytime. Hard ground or soft is up to them. No one's going to come between us. And there are hundreds of others that think like us from different backgrounds, social, economic backgrounds, ethnicities, class, where we live, the way we were raised. It won't be what people think it is. The lineups that they think won't be that. It will be messy. Everyone's going to get a taste of it, and our country will be fractured, irreparably fractured. So let's avoid it, Mobile. The rhetoric of constantly calling, vilifying. Remember when we had the cancel culture, I guess, 8 years ago, that we were told we have to use certain words to address people, and they were losing their jobs. People were losing their incomes. Remember the whole Black Lives Matter movement, you had to knee and wear a kente cloth and, you know, go kiss the George Floyd statue and admit and $90 million given to organizations and Coca-Cola changed it. And then the whole thing with the dude that dressed like a lady getting a campaign, and we were losing campaign dollars or sponsorship money. I still haven't drank a Bud Light since then. That's what we're dealing with. And now the pendulum swings back and forth. It never remains to one side. And it now seems that a group saying, okay, well, you did this to me, I'm going to do it to you. But it never ends. Someone has to say, we are Americans. Someone has to stop and say, you have the right to say that. Someone has to say, killing someone for saying something is wrong. If I were going to be killed for my words, Lizzo would have shot me a long time ago. But I don't deserve to be. If comedians aren't even allowed to make jokes. And could you imagine if George Carlin was still telling jokes? He wouldn't care about being canceled. He'd do an entire bit on it. But no one should ever. I still watch Sanford and Son. I still watch All in the Family. That would never be on television now. It would never make it now, because we've had people dictate to us how I should feel, or what should make me laugh, or what I should think. And I disagree with that. Even if it means I'm offended. I don't like ethnic jokes. I don't like race jokes. I you know, maybe I do get carried away with Lizzo jokes sometimes. I'm in recovery. But that's not to say that I have a right to tell someone they should lose their job or their life because I'm offended. We should never reach that point, Midday. The freedom of speech means that you have the right to be offended or to offend. Hate speech is not because you dislike it. Hate speech is not something you disagree with. I'm not even sure what hate speech is anymore. It never involves the word I hate you, because if that is, I hate seagulls, I hate minivans, mm-hmm. I hate Michael Bublé, I hate kangaroos. If I saw Michael Bublé driving a minivan with kangaroos and seagulls in it, I call and tell you go get my bail money, because that would be the end of them. But is that's hate speech. That means I don't want it to exist. But saying I don't think a little boy should call himself a girl, saying I don't think a boy should go into the girl's bathroom, saying those things is not hatred. It's just my principles. And I shouldn't lose my job on The Force or my radio show because of that. But now we're censoring comedians because they say things that hurt someone's feelings. Well, it used to be any public figure was open season. But now we try to control what is said about people we like. Listen, if you grew up the way I did, everyone was a target. You had to be ready to defend yourself by being able to snap back at people, mm-hmm. give it and take it. And you could never show weakness. The moment you got mad or your feelings were hurt, the vultures came out. You had to pretend it didn't bother you. But we had limits. We would not tell your mama jokes. Those were, everyone understood that. We wouldn't get personal, like if you had a leg shorter than the other, because it wasn't meant to harm you. It was just meant to embarrass you a little bit and get up on you. If that existed today, how many kids would be kicked out of school? How many kids would be accused of bullying? Mm-hmm. How many kids would commit suicide because you said, you know, your sister's so ugly, you have to tie pork chops around her neck so the dogs will play with her? How many kids would be accused of bullying saying that? You know, I used to, when I was instructing, I would call them candy-coated, cream-filled sucker MCs. You know, what would I be accused of saying, hey, you look like you, like little Debbie's a deceitful little something, isn't she? You should go sell used TV at Sears, dude. You're never going to make it. What would become of me? Well, mm-hmm. I did get fired 3 times from instructing for things like that, but I didn't deserve, I did not. One incident was this guy wasn't putting out. He wasn't worse. He was sandbagging. He wasn't working very hard. And I said, well, if you're going to stand there, just stick your thumb in your mouth. And he stuck his thumb in his mouth. And I didn't know what to do after that, Dalton.
Because he called you bluff.
He did. And I was stumped. It's like saying lead, follower, get out the way. And he gets out the way. What do you tell that guy?
Yeah.
So, yeah, but I didn't know what to say, but I got in trouble, but I was right because he quit a few days later. But how did we get here? How did we get from the land of the free and the home of the brave to you can't say what you want? You have to be careful. You'll file a lawsuit. And this is the legacy of weakness. The weak should never lead the strong, because this is what occurs. We get caught in feelings. We get caught up in what we think matters more than what reality is. You know, some blue-haired gypsy girl from New York comes down and tells me, oh, you're repressed and you just don't know it. Oh, we poor thing. And she flies back to New York in a private jet. But we need to get past it.
And just, if I can cut in, yeah. You know, it seems that through all the, you know, just from the generation you're talking about and growing up in Grove Hill, Alabama, with very little cell signal at my house. So even when I did get a phone when I was in my teens, wasn't much talking going on between me and friends. So I had a very similar childhood.
Right.
And you build calluses with mm-hmm. friend groups or even people that aren't necessarily in your friend group going after each other like that. But then everyone, if it's public and you're in the same space, everyone knows when someone's crossed the line.
Right.
Everyone kind of turns their back on that person. But with everything going online now and with students not really able to do anything like that at school because it gets called out so quickly. Well, they're doing it online. They're doing it on whatever app is the newest app these days. But things escalate so quickly. And you wouldn't, you know, look at a friend and after he disrespects you, say, I'm going to, you know, shoot you in the head, you Nazi scum. Right. But that's one of the first things that comes out online. And I wonder if just over the years, the focus on people's feelings, if that hasn't diminished what's important to someone. Because, you know, there's plenty of things that are important enough to me that I'll die over it or fight over it. But something as simple as my feelings or if someone thinks politically different than I do, that's not my water. That's not where I lose my mind. For so many people, they're willing to die for things that if you step back and look at it, it's not that important.
You know, the breakdown of the family, you guys already know my view on that. But COVID did this to kids. They were stuck inside a shell. They went online. All they did was every social interaction they had was online. Like you said, it built calluses when you had to see each other every day, and it made you tough. But these kids did that online, and they didn't have to worry about getting smacked in the face. Mm-hmm. They didn't have to worry about kids laughing at them because you're online. And they come out of that shell. Now they're back in interacting with each other, and they don't know how to communicate. They don't know what to say to each other. They don't know how to react to someone being, whether it's joking or mean intentionally. So that's the legacy that we're dealing with of broken families and the COVID generation. That's why we have more isms now, extreme isms. The shootings that have occurred are a direct result of so many people that never had the ability to interact and grow up. Now, I'm no psychologist. But I'm saying that 20-year-old men shouldn't wake up and say, I'm going to shoot up a school. 19, 18, 15-year-old boys shouldn't carry Glock switches around and randomly shoot at a park where there are people. So there is something to say about the psychology or the psyche of the people we're dealing with. But the justification cannot be because of COVID, or it can't be because it's my side. No, it's just wrong. And we have to get back to that. If it's wrong for you, it's wrong for me. If I can't say it, you can't say it. And we should not try to make exceptions depending on who's in charge or who has more money. That's the other thing so many people are unwilling to address, is because I think they go along with it because they want to be in on it. How many politicians actually want to go to Washington now and change things for the entire nation? Or do they realize it is a grift? If I get elected this one time, I can stay there forever and grift for the next 20 years, 30 years. How many politicians are barely able to walk onto the Senate floor? How many of them don't even, well, who was it, the senator that hadn't shown up for a vote in a year and their kids were still getting a check? Was it
out in Texas, I think?
Yeah, she was about 92 years old. She'd been in a convalescent home for about 6 months. That's the hustle. Mm-hmm. Will anyone be prosecuted for that?
No.
No. You know what would happen to me if I went to, didn't show up for work and got paychecks? I'd be prosecuted or suspended.
Mm-hmm.
There would be something behind it. But who's holding them accountable? The voters are supposed to, but voters now just want their team to win. They don't care if their team has a bad idea. They don't care if their team is incompetent or a rube. They don't care what lascivious and lewd behavior. You know what? We keep asking these questions about who's in the foul. We should start asking them, are you in the foul? We should stop asking ask these people, is your name in it? I know my name isn't. Mm-hmm. I have nothing to hide. But we've been so polarized, we've been so broken down, that it is only wrong if you do it. And it revolves depending on who's in charge. And I'm only saying, let's get back to basics. Man, these segments are coming up quick. This will be our third one, I think. We're coming back. You still have a little more show to do. Now, I've talked about the problem. I'm going to get into the solution. 251-341-343-0106.
That's right. Hit the text line.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back to Midday Mobile. I'm your host, John Mr. Mobile Young, also known as Chocolate Thunder. Keith Harvey. So now that I've talked about the problem, I've spent the first hour talking about the problems, and I didn't even touch on AI, the false information that artificial intelligence is putting out. And I always wonder, what is the difference between artificial intelligence and computer-generated image? Is there a difference, Dalton?
Well, no, I guess technically no, if it's generated by the computer.
Right.
But AI, to me, is a user giving something prompts and saying, invent this or make this. And the problem is, it's just gotten so much more realistic what it is able to create. Right. But also, they can kind of go off on their own. If you give it the directions,
right.
I'm no genius on this, obviously, if you hear me talking about it, but I think they're probably about the same, computer generated and AI. It's just fake news, right?
It's fake news. And Midday, we need to see this as it is. We know that foreign actors are infiltrating our public media, our anti-social media, our news media that's generated by computers. It's been proven that China owned TikTok and we're using it to propagandize us. Russia was buying ads that separate us. Let's just be wiser. Let's think about things and unite as Americans again, even if we disagree with you. If we disagree so badly, then let's not talk about each other or to each other, but let's not hate each other. So I've talked about the problem, so now I'm going to reach to you the solution. Yesterday, I was at Ollie's, and I came across this book called Monument, Words of Four Presidents Who Sculpted America. It's put out by Caliber Press. It was printed in 2022, and it is basically the monument of Mount Rushmore, which has the depictions of Presidents George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Abraham Lincoln, and Theodore Roosevelt. So when I was thinking about this problem that I described, how we become so fractured in our country, well, why not go to the people that were there at the foundation at very pivotal moments of our country? Remember, the Revolutionary War created a government that had not ever existed. And it wasn't easy because some of them were still loyal to the crown, and some wanted to establish their own king here, and some wanted to establish different types of government, a federalist government with a very strong central government, or the Democratic Republican government that wanted states' rights. Get that.
Mm-hmm.
Thomas Jefferson was a representative of the Democratic Republican Party that wanted states' rights. Now the Democrats and Republicans can't get along to order what they're going to order at the deli.
Yeah.
But Thomas Jefferson. But so let's go back to that. And in this book, they're on sale for $4.99 at Ollie's. Ollie's didn't pay me for this, but I think you'll find it interesting. It's a nice...
That's $4.99?
$4.99.
It's a nice looking book.
It is. It's gilded, it has a bookmark, and it's leather.
Wow.
It is an incredible buy. I guess since Americans no longer read... they have their faces stuck in their phone. They said, ship it to Ollie's, because they had dozens of them. I recommend everyone get a copy of it. The foreword of the book says this. Of the 47 people who have been president, it says 44, but we've had 47 since the book was written. Of the 47 people who have been president of the United States, only four have had their faces carved into Mount Rushmore. George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Theodore Roosevelt, Abraham Lincoln. The project began in 1927 and took 14 years to complete at a cost slightly less than $1 million. I don't know what that conversion is now, but I'm sure it's at least $100 million. Guzan Borglum, the principal architect, saw the forest representing first the birth, George Washington, the growth, Thomas Jefferson, development, Theodore Roosevelt, and preservation of the nation, Abraham Lincoln. The project came to an end in 1941 after Borglum's death. And that is what's so important about that. The birth, the growth, development, and preservation of a nation. And there's no doubt the first president, George Washington, the growth comes from Thomas Jefferson and the Louisiana Purchase. oh, come on, little voice.
Lincoln with the preservation, is that right?
Right. He came after the Civil War, brought things back together. And we forget how much land Theodore Roosevelt set aside, that he busted up the antitrust, he busted up the railroads, and he would fight anybody. I always said that if January 6th occurred when Theodore Roosevelt was there, he would have been in the hallway throwing blows, from what I've read about him. You know. But that's these are four pivotal moments in American history. And so for us to correct what we have, let's go back and look what they did at these pivotal moments. What were their thoughts and their words when America had met its foundation and the fighting the national bank and fighting the antitrust laws and trying to hold a nation together? Washington was famous not just for leading the 13 colonies to victory in the seven-year Revolutionary War against the British, but also for putting in place democratic traditions that guided the country's political future. After the unhappy experience of being governed by a royal sovereign, Washington understood the need to create an executive authority with limited powers. He resisted suggestions that he make the Congress an extension of his control and was mindful of the importance of having an independent judiciary administering the rule of law. When he refused to run for a third term, he made it clear that no president, however popular, should have more than two terms. The humility that the man showed. Remember, at one time they wanted to make him king, and he absolutely refused that. He even changed the title of how they address him from his royal majesty to just simply the humble Mr. President rather than His Excellency the President. Think about it. This man has led the entire country through a war 7 years. They name him president, and he's humble enough to say, no, let someone else do it.
Mm-hmm.
So our leaders have to realize when they've done their job, when they've accomplished what they need to accomplish. So let's get back to that. Here's our founding father that anyone, he could have been dictator for life if he wanted to, king for life or president for life if he wanted to at that time. Who would have run against him after what, a war hero? But he chose to stand aside after he accomplish what he wanted, needed for the nation. And that is what we need to get back to. Everyone is a leader. It doesn't matter if it's the president or if you're a PTA leader. You can have the humble spirit that you've done your job and it's time to move over. When I've reached my professional maturity and it's time for me to go, I can go, and hopefully I've left something behind that other people can grow from. So it's not just me that has to gain. The organization has to gain. Thomas Jefferson is won his enshrinement on Mount Rushmore by putting in place the peaceful transition of one political party to another. He declared in his first 1801 inaugural address, "We are all Federalists. We are all Republicans. We are all Americans." He saw his first duty as serving the national well-being rather than perceived ideas of political behavior. Again, a very humble servant, uniting us in that we are Americans. We're coming up on our break. We'll be back, and I'm going to go further into the solutions to our problems.
There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that.
This is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby. That's right. This man knows what's up.
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Welcome back to Midday Mobile with Mr. Mobile. I'm filling in for Sean Sullivan. Let's just get back to it. Man, that first hour flew by, so let's get into it. Despite serving less than 5 years as president, Abraham Lincoln is generally recognized as historians as one of the greatest presidents. He was president during the Civil War, which left an indelible mark on the American psyche when the nation lost almost 700,000 lives, the most costly conflict in American history. But it was also Lincoln that ended the national shame of slavery and opened the way for fulfilling the Declaration of Independence assertion that all men are created equal. Though it would be another 100 years before African Americans and women would enjoy the full benefits of the Declaration, Lincoln's Emancipation Proclamation marked the landmark of that in our nation's history for that to occur. In 1927, for Theodore Roosevelt, when work on the Mount Rushmore began, he'd been dead almost 8 years, but alongside Lincoln's impressive successors, Roosevelt had become a towering figure who restored the standing of presidency. He thought a president could not achieve greatness without a victorious war. His administration turned the federal government into a successful arbiter in the contemporary domestic affairs between workers and owners. In particular, his arbitration of the coal miners' strike in the winter of 1904 made the federal government into a decisive force in managing and advancing the national economy. The creation of the Food and Drug Administration protected consumers from the sale of spoiled and harmful foods and drugs. It was the expression of the fair deal that Roosevelt declared a hallmark for his presidency. So, and I even have a scripture to back that up, Dalton. I got Romans 13:1, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that are, that be, are ordained of God." So let's not get caught up in this whole thing about who is what or what they believe and what side they're on. I'm a believer. I'm a Christian. But the book says that whoever's in power, whether it's an R, a D, or an I, they are allowed to be in power. So there are four presidents that have four indelible marks on our nation that were in power, and we need to honor them whether we agree with what party they were a member of or not. And the influence and the positive effect on our nation that the four of them had should not be ignored. So when we want to argue with someone about politics, let's remember these four men. They're not the only four, but let's remember Mount Rushmore that gave us the ability to even have these arguments. Without the Louisiana Purchase, how much would crawfish be if the French still owned it? You know, what would we be paying per pound? Le Bleu, you know, they $30. You know, where would we be if Lincoln had not written the Emancipation Proclamation? Where would we be if George Washington had set the standard that I would be a king and name my successor? Where would we be as a nation if Thomas Jefferson hadn't been that man? So we need to think back. So anytime we get into these arguments, or if people on Capitol Hill or Goat Hill want us to argue with each other, our origins in this nation come from these four men. So that's where we can unite, that the ability to live where you want, work where you want, earn whatever you want, vote, speak your mind, have freedom of expression came from these four men. Mm-hmm. So that's a unifying point in Senate, Dalton.
Yeah, it is. And fitting, too, coming up on the 250th anniversary next year of this country. And an introspective look at those four men that led this country, and some of them unwillingly. Well, right. Willingly, but...
reluctantly.
Reluctantly, mm-hmm. Thank you, with Washington especially. And sometimes that's what it takes to get a leader of men. They might not necessarily want to lead, but have to be pushed into that. Now, I know you probably know several men like that in your life over the years that said, I have to do something. I don't want to do something, but I have to do something. You've talked about that before. But there's been so many people that have made so many sacrifices to get where we are today, and it's not even an afterthought for so many people that are arguing these days politically. They don't even – a lot of them don't even know.
Right. And that's what frightens me, the ignorance that we have in America now. This was taught in civics class when I was in Miss Leake's third grade. And believe me, you knew the Declaration of Independence. You knew the Emancipation Proclamation. Kids aren't even getting civics lessons anymore. I believe there are people we are electing to office that don't know what bicameral government is. Mm-hmm. I believe we are electing people that don't know why those four men are on Mount Rushmore. They probably can't tell you who's on Mount Rushmore. I've listened to some of our political candidates and our elected officials, and I believe they're ignorant. I believe they are missing information. They don't know history. They don't know the rules of law. They don't know our Constitution. They surely don't respect it. So one of the most fascinating things while reading this book last night is they have letters from all four presidents. It's a deep read that everyone should get, but... The depth of intelligence that George Washington had, the rules of civility. It was written by George Washington in 1731 when he was 14 or 15 years old. The manuscript was preserved in the State of Archives in Washington City, and when they were found, they were found in a state of disrepair. They had almost been rotting to death.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason he wrote these, there's 110 rules of civility that a 14 or 15-year-old George Washington wrote. How many of our elected officials now, were they writing at 14 or 15? You know, probably not much. But he wanted to write the way gentlemen were supposed to interact with one another.
Hmm.
And, yeah, I even got a scripture for you on that, Matthew 22 and 38. The 37 is, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, and thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second one is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And of these two commandments hang all the law of the prophets. So if Washington at 14 could be so considerate of mankind that he will write 110 rules of how we should interact with one another, how we should be civilized with one another and speak to one another, maybe we should think about this and take it into consideration before we get into an argument with someone, before we say because they're an R or a D. We throw the word fascist around so much. I don't think people really know what the definition of fascism is anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think people know the definition of racism anymore or extremism. It's all turned into, because I don't like what you're saying, you are fill in the blank. You know, that's the point we've reached, Dalton, because people don't read or educate themselves. There's nothing more dangerous than an emotional, ignorant person.
Mm.
When someone doesn't have the ability to think critically for themselves, to slow their thought processes down, and they have a weapon. They are the most dangerous individual in the world, right?
Yeah, easily. I mean, we've seen it, and I feel it myself sometimes too, where I get fired up over a subject and I realize I don't really even know the details.
Right.
I guess it's a virtue that I'm able to realize before I dive too far, but that makes so much sense. An ignorant, angry person.
Right. So we're coming up on our first break of the hour. We will be back. I still have solutions to our problems, and I got about 45 more minutes to solve them. I see we got a caller. We'll try to get them when we come back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
We're back to Midday in Mobile. I'm Mr. Mobile, your host. Hey, Jason, thank you for the good luck speech, and I'll see you soon. Man, with all of these text messages and email we're getting, I shouldn't have to buy a lunch for the next 3 weeks, Dalton. I mean, everyone's calling in and saying, you know, D. Hill's saying he's going to buy my beer. And
well,
you know,
I mean, it sounds to me like a lot of checks aren't being cashed. People are telling you they're going to get you something.
All talk, you know, talking loud. You're like a dull knife. You ain't cutting. You're talking loud, but you ain't saying nothing. So let's get to it. You want to check out our caller?
Yeah, let's go to the phones, and I believe we have, is it Tara on the line? Hey, Tara.
Hey, thank you. I want to say, first of all, that I'm going to give a quote from Jonathan Swift. When a true genius appears in the world, you may know him by this sign, that the dunces are all in confederacy against him. That's from Jonathan Swift's Thoughts on Various Subjects, Moral and Diverting. The reason I'm calling in about this is because the title of this book is A Confederacy of Dunces. It was winner of the Pulitzer Prize. The author died in 1969, and it was not copyrighted until 1980 by his mother.
Oh, thank you so much for that.
Please, right now is when we need to read this book. This book
What's the title again?
Books,
Confederacy of Dunces.
Wonderful.
Yes.
Thank you.
By John Kennedy Toole.
Okay.
Okay?
But yes, thank you.
It's one of the funniest, but it's also one of the most, just read it.
Thank you so much for that, Tara.
Yeah, it's a well-known one. It's one I haven't read, though.
Right.
I need to.
Right. So let's get back to my solution. And George Washington's Rules of Civility on page 31, every action done in company ought to be done with some sign of respect to those that are present. And that just means all actions done before others should be with some sign of respectful feeling to the entire company. Politeness, just being polite and public, that's something we've lost. And I got scripture for that. I got Romans 12:17, recompense to no man evil for evil, provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it possible, as much as life in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. So let's have a cool conversation with each other without constantly yelling and screaming or talking over one another. We can do this respectfully. This is how we heal our country. This is how we unite again, when we respect each other's opinion. When we have a conversation and I'm not calling you names, I'm not berating you, and I listen to what you have to say, you listen to what I have to say. If we agree to disagree and we can disagree some more, so be it. The 49th rule of civility, use no reproachful language against any other, neither curse nor revile. The 50th rule says, be not hasty to believe flying reports to the disparagement of any. That means don't spread rumors. Just because you read it online, just because you hear it, doesn't make it true. Before you repeat it, make sure it is real. We just talked about CGI and AI, and now there are more and more false stories coming out. We are reposting things that aren't real. You mentioned, Dalton, about Ryan Williams giving all of his NIL money to buy apartment complexes in Saraland. It turned out to be false. And you know something else? I read that about Drew Allar, the Penn State quarterback.
Yeah.
The exact same article written the exact same way, just different pictures. So it's the same thing in our life. When we hear something, it sounds like a juicy tidbit, don't be so quick to repeat it. Trust, but verify. It isn't the person that you're doubting, it's the information. And in this day and age of manipulation and propaganda, we have to be more cognizant of it. There are outside actors that would love to see America fall. They would love to see us at each other. They love when we fight and scream and yell and call each other's name. There were people celebrating assassination and shootings. They love to see us, the same people with the same amount of money, with the same social background, calling each other names. The rich and powerful in this country don't want us to unite and realize that they're making themselves wealthy through tax laws, and they can pay lobbyists. How many millions of dollars are lobbyists paying all of our politicians to vote against our best interest? Mm-hmm. They're voting in the interest of corporation. So when they control the media, they tell us what we want. If they didn't control media, these little boys wouldn't be walking around wearing dresses. Someone put that on television and encouraged boys to walk around dressing like that. That's the power of media. That's the power of lying. We have to be careful of what our preachers tell us. So many of them are bought and paid for. So many of our pastors, our church leaders, have taken big propaganda business money to tell us what they want us to hear, to make us follow their lies and their deceit. The preachers are some of the most powerful people in every neighborhood. They have every weekend or every Sunday, they have tens or dozens or hundreds of people listening to them, online viewership, thousands of pages or thousands of subscribers watching their page. So we have to be careful. We have to judge this tree by the fruit it bears. We have to be more discerning when we say something or hear something before we repeat it. That's all it really comes down to, and that's all I'm asking.
And that's, you know, another good reason. Like you said, you hopped off Facebook, and you mentioned that Ryan Williams story. And I've thought about that so many times, not that one specifically, but so many people falling for AI fake stories that really, I mean, they don't have a political lean or anything like that. I'm trying to figure out why someone wants someone to believe that. But there's so much information out there, and to trust but verify every little thing, I think it's impossible. Mm-hmm. Some things are going to slip through the cracks. Sometimes you just got to step away from it. But once you do get hit with something where you're like, well, that doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense to me. Or if you're told that your neighbor probably hates you because they're like this and you're like that, well, I just had a conversation with my neighbor, right, and we didn't seem to hate each other there. Right. So just because we like different things doesn't mean we would be at each other's throats. It's just the online thing and how that plays into it. And also, like you've been saying, the elites that want more money in their pockets, they're fine stoking the fire so that communities are at each other's necks. And I don't know how we get past that.
I'm explaining right now. I have the solutions. It's always been here. When you think about what Washington and the founding fathers did to form this nation, it took a lot of moxie. If they lost the Revolutionary War, we would still be under the British flag. They would have gotten their heads chopped off. There was that much at stake. It was an all in or all out. The Alamo, they made a decision that we're going to stand our ground against Santa Anna, and we're either all in or we're all out. We've reached that point now. We can be all in to our United States of America, or we could become fractured and then eventually get back to another secessionist movement where these states decide to form a bloc and those states decide to form a bloc. They print their money and they decide to revolt. I'd rather avoid that. And so my solution is, let's look at each other as human beings first with dignity and respect. Let's speak to each other with dignity and respect. And if we can't get along, let's respectfully leave each other alone. Don't let someone on television tell you to hate me because of how I look or how I dress or my political or religious preference. Don't ask me about politics. Don't ask me about religion. And don't ask me about my income. And I'll bet we have far more in common because I love my family. I want them safe. I want to provide for my family. I like a good cold beer every once in a while. I like football. I like hot dogs and steak. You know, I like boxing. I like reading. I like going to the beach. We have far more in common than we don't. But we keep allowing people to tell us lies. They report disparagement to us. They use reproachful language. They've encouraged us to hate people we don't even know. And I even got scripture for that. I got Galatians 5:21 saying that envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like of the which I tell you, therefore, I have also told you in the time past that they which do these things shall not inherit the kingdom, but of the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So if we're just polite with one another, being nice, like I said, I walked out of the Subway, and, you know, I have a cheat meal once in a while, and I wanted a meatball sandwich. But this lady was just so unpleasant. She looked like the meatball sandwich. I don't blame her for being unpleasant. But instead of just sucking that moment up and being polite, she, you know, she ran, I don't want to deal with it. I walked out. She probably doesn't care, but Subway eventually will if that continues. So let's be, and listen, I'm the world's worst that when I'm out walking around, I have to remember that I have somehow gained some type of notoriety from being on the radio and television. And I have to remember people will come up and speak to me. And so I have to change my countenance. So we're coming up on our break. We'll be right back. And I still have more solutions that I want all of you to practice from now on.
Listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
It is Midday Mobile. We'll get back to Mr. Mobile, John Young, here in just a minute. Won't hold you too long. I do want to remind folks, got a great event tonight, tomorrow, out in Grand Bay. We had a conversation with our friend Joey Mason this morning on Mobile Mornings about Smoke on the Farm with Mason Hills Farm, and it starts this evening, 5 p.m., so when you get off work, plenty of time, get out there to Grand Bay at Mason Hills Farm. It's on North Wheatcroft Road, and live music tonight. They'll have the cook-off, of course, which is what this is all about, a State Cook-Off Association-sanctioned event. You have some companies from around here, some great chefs, and they'll be putting everything on the grill. Some really, really interesting stuff that they make, and it's all delicious. I went to the inaugural Smoke on the Farm last year, and it was a great time, and it benefits Victory Health Partners and Farmers in Action. And new this year, in addition to the live music, they'll have the hamburger eating contest. They have a Southern Bay Cruisers car show tomorrow. So Smoke on the Farm out at Mason Hills Farm in Grand Bay, 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. tonight, and then 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. tomorrow. It is a fantastic time. The ticket gets you in. You can eat all you can eat. One adult, two-day weekend pass is $15. It's $10 for a daily ticket. They have the tickets there at Mason Hills Farm. If you want to find out some more information, masonhillsfarm.com/smokeonthefarm, and I hope to see you out there. It is a great time. It was last year. This is the second annual one starting tonight. All right, back to Mr. Mobile, John Young.
Thank you. Are you entering the hamburger eating contest?
I watched the hamburger eating contest last year, and they had about 10 contestants. Seemed that five of them were just in it for a free hamburger and weren't taking it too seriously. One of them took it entirely too seriously and lost some of the hamburgers after the whole thing was over.
Boy.
But it was certainly a fun watch, and I will not be entering this
year, that's too bad, man.
Answer that in a very long way.
It sounds like a good time out there.
It is, and Joey Mason, he's done a great job building up Mason Hills Farm.
Right.
One of the hardest workers I know. He's around all the time, and I said it this morning, he finally gets a home game.
Right.
Once a year, he gets a home game out there at Mason Hills Farm, so it's worth checking out. If you want to have a good time, go out there.
All right. Thank you. We're going to get back to solving our problems. We're reading from the Rules of Civility, written by George Washington when he was 14 or 15 years old. I doubt very many politicians now in their 30s or 40s who are serving on Capitol Hill or Goat Hill could write anything like this now. The character, the maturity, and the thoughtfulness. And I'm not anti-politician. I am pro-intelligence. I am pro-conscience. I'm pro-conviction. And I am pro my fellow man. Rule number 56 is associate yourself with men of good quality if you care about your own reputation, for it is better to be alone than in bad company. And this is one that strikes me really hard because right now we have a hero worship complex, whether it's a politician or a football player or a football coach. We almost idolize these people. And by idolizing them, I mean we put them ahead of our common sense, our conscience. We put them ahead of our pride. And idolatry is simply the definition of it. The biblical definition of idolatry in Webster is the worship of idols or excessive devotion to or reverence for some person or thing. An idol is anything that replaces the one true God. The most prevalent form of idolatry in the Bible times was worship of images that were thought to embody the various pagan deities. But now we argue and fight over people. I mentioned earlier, Dalton, that we argue and fight over people we don't really know. And personally, I can remember when I cheered for this team in Pennsylvania and this scandal came out about 20 years ago. And I found myself defending the head coach against people I knew. And we would argue, man, and raise our voices. And one day the light came on and I realized I was arguing with people I know my entire life for someone I'd never met. I only know through TV. I don't know what his real tendencies or habits are. I don't know what his favorite hamburger flavor is. I don't know anything about this guy than he wears thick glasses and he rolls his pants up when he runs out into the field. Mm-hmm. But I found myself arguing with them. I had made this man something greater than my friendships. That is a form of idolatry. And we do that with other human beings. I say it all. Get off that man's jock. How do you look up to another man like that as a man? As a 54-year-old man, why would I argue with you about someone I've never met? How do I hold this guy up so hard that I speak more profoundly about him and defend him more than I would my own father? Or fall out with my father over my defense of him?
Hmm.
How do we even get to that point, Dalton, that we uphold movie stars and athletes? We had kids, little kids playing football, taking knees at little peewee football games because they saw other people, other athletes do it. How do we even let that influence reach this point?
I my guess would be tribalism is so ingrained in us as a species, but the tribe has changed over the years, I guess. Right. You know, you used to go to the mat for your team. That would mean your community, your whatever, and it often meant life or death, right? But the football team you cheer for, that's not life or death. The even the political party in ways can be, if you think about it, life or death, but most of the things we argue about aren't. But that tribalism still remains. And right. I guess valuing civility and realizing what's important or not important needs to outweigh that tribalism.
Well, right, and we shouldn't allow people to make us tribal. We shouldn't allow people to give us rhetoric and propagandize us to hate each other, to look at each other as an enemy. I'm trying to unite Mobile. I am trying to unite the United States again. So these are the things that we can do it. Even if it means turn off your TV. I've seen guys with their favorite news program on for the 8 hours that they're working. They listen to it all the way to work. They listen to it all the way home. They listen to it when they're at home. They never read or hear anything differently. And so you believe what that person on that TV is saying. But if you remember the movie, The Network, when the guy went crazy in the studio, he said, "You talk like the Bucs, we eat like the Bucs, you maniacs. This is pure madness." But that's what we've become. We put these boxes in our children's hands and put them inside. Why are kids riding in grocery baskets now? They should be walking. I mean, big kids. I don't mean hand babies. I mean, like, bigger than toddlers.
Yeah.
But we put these handheld computers in their palms. There's all sorts of encrypted messages that come through all the anti-social media. They're being indoctrinated the entire time they're there. They walk out to the car holding it. They get into the car. That becomes their idol. I've seen videos and heard of fights where children attack their parents when they took the tablet or the cell phone from them because they become addicted to it. That is their idol. When you see girls dressed like these hoochies on television, when you see these girls on dressing like these thought boxes on television, when we see these little girls dancing like what they see on television, that's now their idol. They want to be what they see. And we aren't even giving these kids a chance to fight back because, you know, I ate lunch in the mall before I came over here. I left Subway. I told you why. So I went to the mall.
Did you still find a meatball sub somewhere?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, okay, rid of that idea.
Right. I wasn't going to the Subway around the corner on Cottage Hill. So I went to one of my favorite places. They're always nice to me. And I sat there and watched just big woman after big woman. All of them were wearing clothes that are too small. They all had fake hair. And how did we get to that point that you don't even have any decency or shame because they idolize what they've seen on television? Someone on television has told them that it doesn't matter how you look, do your thing. Well, I wouldn't even want to see a 1989 Pam Grier dress like that in public because there is a thing called decency and shame. I wouldn't want my child speaking the way I see people on television. You know, if we spoke like we get popped in the mouth, but because it's someone I like on television, we cheer for it. Yeah. Because deep down inside, we want to be that. Mm-hmm. We want to be loud and obnoxious and rude. We want to be the guy on stage singing about sex and drugs. The women want to be the lady on stage that the crowd is going wild for her while she's twerking her twop off. We want those things. So we idolize these things and we replace God, we replace virtue, we replace honesty, we replace everything that makes us strong. We can be strong and we can reunite, but these are the things we have to do, Dalton. The pendulum hasn't gone so far that we can't bring it back, but we better bring it back now because when someone else is in charge, they're going to say, okay, watch this. And now it goes as far the other way in the opposite direction, and the center keeps moving. Mm-hmm. The center keeps moving back and forth. There are no centrists in Congress and government anymore. There used to be guys who could walk between the aisle and talk to guys and get them to see my way and see your way. But we have made it tribal, and they have forced us into tribes. Because those people who don't think for themselves think they can get in on it. George Carlin said, it's a big club, and you ain't in it, and you won't be in it. You know, there are hierarchies and wealthy people. Like, there's the millionaire house, and then the 10 millionaire house, and then there's a gate between the 100 millionaire house and the 500 millionaire house, and then there's another gate, the billionaire house, and then there's a gate between them and the family that owns the color blue, and no one has access to that gate. Because they own the color blue. They have a wealth that you can't understand. Mm-hmm. So they don't even get along with one another. You can't win a $1 billion lottery and move into that. You don't have enough family lineage. Mm-hmm. You know, and we need to remember that, right?
Right, yeah. And as far as, you know, no centrists in politics anymore, it doesn't sell. It doesn't win you elections. And whether that's the voters' fault or the system's fault, I don't know. But sex sells. Violence sells, right. Being mad at your opponent sells, right. It's because that's what the consumers are lapping up, and it's because that's where our values have fallen to, I guess.
Right. Coming up, this is our final break, 251-343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back to Midday Mobile with Mr. Mobile. I'm filling in for Sean Action Man Sullivan. This is our final segment, and I've been offering my solutions to unite our country once again, to unite our country, to stand firm as American citizens, to no longer be polarized, to be angry at one another, to get back to just agreeing to disagree. If we don't have to talk about something, let's not talk about it. We've intentionally, in my opinion, have been turned against one another. I believe the propaganda is real. I believe foreign actors have infiltrated our media. I believe they are bought off. Our media is bought off by lobbyists. You can't criticize some people, and some people you can say whatever you want. You can't say this about that person, but you can say whatever you want. And I'm saying Americans, Alabamians, Mobilians, we have to be civil with one another. We have to turn back. If you are saved, if you believe in God, turn back to the Word. If you are not, then just be a good person. You don't have to let people turn off your television. I unplugged from Facebook Tuesday, and I am sleeping better. My mind isn't as cluttered. I am focused better when I read a book, a paper book. And I have to say again, go to Ollie's, get Monument, Words of Our Four Presidents. Words of Four Presidents Who Sculpted America. It is worth the $4.99 and get back to what made America when it was founded. I didn't even get to Thomas Jefferson or Theodore Roosevelt or Abraham Lincoln. But Abraham Lincoln, when he said 70 years ago, our forefathers came, when he gave that opening address, it captivated the entire nation. And we've read that and repeated it since it was read 160 years ago, when Theodore Roosevelt stood up to the railroad barons and the iron barons, the people that were trying to buy up our government. He refused. He fought it. And I know people want to say that, you know, George Washington owned slaves, and so did Thomas Jefferson. You know, he had a wife, he made a black girl pregnant and had a family, and these things can be true. More than one thing can be true. They are true, and they occurred. But I have never been a slave. My father wasn't, nor my grandfather. So while that was true then, it isn't true now. And the Constitution applies to everyone now. Free speech, freedom of religion, it applies to everyone now. Perhaps there was a time that there was segregation and you could not ride a train, that the same train barons that Franklin Delano, Theodore Roosevelt challenged, but now you can. Perhaps Abraham Lincoln would have preserved the Union if he kept some men in bondage and set some free, or kept all men in bondage or set all men free. But now in 2025, that is no longer an excuse. We are able to go as far as we can, as we want to. That's the desire I'm trying to plant in all of us, to remind us all we are Americans. I'm not a hyphenated American. I am an American. And I want you to remember that this is your land. This is my land. I want you to remember when we sing the national anthem. I was about to try to sing it, but I don't want to. No. We're not going to blow up anybody's speakers in that car. But when we say, "Oh, can you see?" That's all of us. When we say, "I'm proud to be an American," that's all of us. No longer should we allow anyone to divide us on anything. Look, if you like anchovies and pineapple on your pizza, maybe we shouldn't order pizza with me. But you can order anchovies and pineapple if you want, and I'm not going to think any less of you. We have to think about this and make our own decisions and make our own, and not be propagandized and not be constantly told what we're supposed to feel and think by anyone, right, Dalton? We have to start thinking for ourselves again.
We do. And maybe there needs to be some classes on that taught in school. I don't know if they could ever get that through.
Well, they have too much time talking about how you feel and what pet you're going to behave this day and your pronouns now. I don't know how much time they spend on reading, writing, and arithmetic. But we're coming down to our final few minutes, and I saved the final rule of civility, rule number 110. Labor to keep alive in your breast that little spark of celestial fire called conscience.
That's heavy.
It was written by 14 or 15-year-old George Washington. Labor to keep alive in thy breast that little spark of celestial fire called conscience. For conscience to an evil man is a never-dying worm, but unto a good man it is a perpetual feast. Let's think about this midday. Our conscience is what tells us when we are right or we are wrong. Don't build a callus on your conscience that you can no longer hear conviction. An evil man has been turned over to a reprobate mind. He is lost. But a good man can still save something. Be that light that shines in that room. Don't give in. Don't back down. Don't give up. And show what true patriots are in this city, in this nation. We are having a new government installed soon. We will have to unite as Mobilians. There were some nasty things said in the runoff election. There were a lot of innuendos. I truly believe the campaign was against their associations and what people thought they were going to do in the future. But now we have to unite, and I implore any newly sworn elected official, be a Mobilian first. Don't just say it, live it. Put your mark on Mobile. Let people remember that you were the person that united the city and held it together, that you would not allow anyone to divide us based on ethnicity, race, place, zip code, address, education, or finances. remind every Mobilian this is ours. Put your mark on it. Stand on principle. Stand firmly. Make sure everyone understands that you are here to represent us. I'm not saying that you wouldn't. I'm only encouraging you that you would. I am only saying what all of us should be saying, taking an interest in what happens in our city. People can recite to you what many senators' names that aren't even in the state of Alabama, but they can't name who their councilman is, or they can't name who their county commissioner is, or their state representative. They can't even tell you the name of the head dog catcher. They have become so enthralled with people so far away that they don't know. They have opinions on them. They will fight you over them, or curse you out, or not talk to you. Well, I'm asking you to have that same fervor, that same zeal for our city, and let's make this city better. Let's heal our wounds. I've read for the last 2 hours what we can do, but it takes a conscious decision for us to do it midday. We have to do it because our future is at stake. And I believe in scripture. I believe that it all plays out. This is a part of it, but we don't have to go down without a fight. We can swing back. We can try and save something, because if we don't and we continue being polarized, what I talked about in the first hour about the factional fighting is a reality. There are people, there are government agencies and government agents waiting for another false flag, in my opinion, to set things off. But believe me, there are people who have become so indoctrinated that they'll fall for it hook, line, and sinker. They'll go right along with it, accusing they did it, and they'll be the ones. Remember that they've always needed ignorant people to do their dirty work. The powerful has always needed uneducated people to go out and harm other people. They won't get their hands dirty. They won't get their fingers dirty. But they will always use other people. Do we have new text messages?
We have a bunch of text messages.
Really? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to ignore you guys.
No, and you have a ton of fans. It's evident if you look through this, and I appreciate all the texts. We're kind of running out of time right now. If people, maybe the first time they're listening to you today, this two-hour program with Sean Sullivan, how else can they listen to you?
Well, I have a show on Monday nights, Tonight in Mobile with Mr. Mobile, 106.5 at 8 p.m. until 9 p.m. Tune in. We talk about the same topics, local problems, local things. I also have some guests come on. And if anybody wants to sponsor, let me know. I lost one a few weeks ago. And Celeste doesn't play about her money. She doesn't play about her money.
And Sean has you on every now and then.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Guest hosting. Thank you, John.
Thank you for having me.
All right, that's Midday Mobile. Hey, we'll do it all again Monday. You're listening to FM Talk 106.5.